We're talking with the Wisconsin State Soil Scientist here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here. Jennifer Smith, on the job since March, will develop, manage, and direct a technical soil services program for our state. With 17 years under her belt as a soil scientist in the Midwest in both the public and private sector, what do you want to know about our soil health? Are you curious about our official state soil? 800-642-1234. The state soil scientist is housed within the USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service, or NRCS. Jennifer also serves as state liaison to the National Cooperative Soil Survey Cooperators. Jennifer, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, give us a thumbnail sketch, if you would, of what a soil scientist is.
Oh, boy. We have all day. Basically, a soil scientist goes out and looks at the soil properties, both physical, chemical, and the biological factors. Back in the day, we used to only really look at those physical properties and how I can grow a crop in it. But now it's so much more, and we're really looking into soil health to make sure that we have a sustainable ecosystem and we can continue to grow our crops. Very important, very important. It's difficult to say what a life in a soil scientist is on a typical day because we're doing all sorts of things. We're in the field, we're in the office, we're talking to producers, we're talking to kids. Let me tell you, it's the best job on earth.
Well, notable, I might add, you are our state's first female soil scientist. Anything you'd like to say there?
Yeah, I just recently found out about that, and I am truly honored, and I'm not going to lie, I'm a little bit, feel the pressure, but I'm excited to be in Wisconsin, and I can't wait. I'm still new in the job, but I can't wait to get going and meet landowners in Wisconsin and continue to spread the word of soil. I love soil, and I love talking about soil, so I can't wait.
We can hear that in your voice. You know, we often hear about healthy soil, but it's so fuzzy in my head. What makes a soil healthy?
Right? Yeah. So it's not really a new concept, but it's one of our buzzwords. And we really do want to make sure that we have healthy soils, because if we don't, so soil, why should we care, right? Who cares? It's just dirt. But soil is vital to life. We can't live without it, and it's not a renewable resource. So we really need to make sure that we do take care of our soil. So what is a healthy soil? A healthy soil is something that can continue growing our crops. And it can, Mother Nature made it to act like a sponge. It can also hold water. So in those times where, oh, geez, I don't know. I'm currently not in Wisconsin, but has Wisconsin been under a drought? So those years when there's a drought, when we have some moisture in the soil, if the soil is healthy, it can hold on to that moisture. And in times in the summer when we're going through those dry periods, that water is still available to our plants. A healthy soil has great soil structure, it has great organic matter, and it's really important to make sure that we keep our soils healthy. So with NRCS, we have four principles. So we want to minimize the soil disturbance. So less passes, less tillage. We want to maximize the diversity. So that could be crop rotation. Instead of just doing a monoculture of just corn, maybe we put corn, beans, and a small grain in there. Hey, if we can incorporate cover crops and a multi-species cover crop, that's great. We're maximizing the diversity. Microbes are kind of like us, and we want a diverse diet, right? We don't want to just eat bread and water.
That would not be good. No, bad.
and not healthy, right? What happens if you just have bread and water? You're going to go to the doctor. You're going to need vitamins. Well, same for our soil microbes. They want that diversity. So if we can add some more plants in there and they offer different sugars, the microbes will come and they'll be healthier. We also want to keep the soil covered. So that could be with residue, if we leave our corn residue out there, or if we have a cover crop, we're keeping it covered. And we want to maximize the living roots. Mother Nature, we had tall grass prairie, and the soil was covered and it was protected, had a diverse variety of plants, and it was covered all year long. So if in our agronomic systems, if we could kind of mimic Mother Nature, mm-hmm. then we can build healthier soils.
Well, let me reintroduce you. We're with Jennifer Smith. She is Wisconsin State Soil Scientist with the USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service. And your soil health questions front and center, 800-642-1234. Jennifer, I understand one of the favorite parts of your job is really getting out there into schools, talking about soil to different age groups. What do you hope this does to educate future generations?
Yeah, I love going out. Man, let me tell you, these kids, they are smart. come up with excellent questions. I just hope to, who knew that you could study soil, right? Who knew? It's just, again, it's just dirt. It's something we build on. It's something we put some plants in, but who cares? It's just dirt. But that's really not the case. And I hope to open their eyes and realize it's so much more, and it's so important. So whether they want to continue and be farmers, just realize how important that soil is. Whether they want to go on and continue and be a soil scientist, hey, that's great. Unfortunately, we're losing a lot of interest in the soils programs due to budgetary constraints. Some schools, colleges need to cut their programs. So, hey, let's get an interest in soil going. Or, you know, shoot, I heard one of the PhDs, a microbiologist, say that they don't even know 95% of the different kinds of microbes that are in the soil.
Wow.
So, man, you young kids or anyone who wants to go back to school, please study that because we need that information. Even though we can't see those microbes, they're so important to our soil health.
So on that note, in terms of research and understanding Wisconsin's soil, what are some of your top priorities and goals as you work with Wisconsin and its soil?
Good question. So first, I want to clarify, NRCS is not a research agency, but we do special studies, and any landowner who's interested in what their soils look like, please contact your local field office or Google up a soil scientist or myself, and we can come out and we can do some field assessments. And we can see, is your soil healthy? Can we improve it? Can we improve the organic matter? Do you have soil erosion, wind, water concerns? We can go out there and we can do certain assessments and see where your soil's at. And then make recommendations how to improve.
Let's take a call now. Marcus is joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Marcus. What is on your mind with soil?
So I was just wondering how your guest feels about what Native Americans used to call the Three Sisters. They'd take a fish, and in the mouth of the fish, they'd put a squash seed, a corn seed, and a bean seed. And so that way the corn would grow up and provide a trellis for the beans. The squash would provide ground cover, and it was perfectly balanced for nitrogen as well as the other stuff. And basically it was a way to do it without pesticides or fertilizers.
Marcus, thank you. Jennifer.
Wow, Marcus. I'll be honest, I've never heard that, but that's very interesting. And the Native Americans, very, very smart people, very resourceful. I think that we need to get back to, again, and mimic Mother Nature. And if we can limit our tillage, and if we can incorporate these soil health practices, maybe baby steps, then I think we're going to have a healthier ecosystem. And the microbes will do their job, the soil will do their job, and then hopefully we won't need to use those pesticides and herbicides and things like that.
We're talking with Wisconsin's new state soil scientist, Jennifer Smith. She also serves as the state liaison with the National Cooperative Soil Survey. What questions do you have about soil mapping and soil health? Have you tried to improve the soil on your land? How do you do that? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Jennifer Smith on the Ideas Network. We're appreciating our soil resources on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. I came across a quote on the USDA's Wisconsin State Soil Information page. It's by the late UW-Madison soil science professor Francis D. Hole, who lobbied hard to get an official state soil, and the legislature made it a reality in 1983. So Hole said, soil is the hidden secret friend, which is the root domain of lively darkness and silence. What does soil mean to you? 800-642-1234. State soil scientist Jennifer Smith is with us for 10 more minutes. Jennifer Antigo Silt Loam, our official state soil. Can you give us a little more of that history lesson on how that came to be?
Good question. So just like states have state birds, flowers, and I apologize, I don't know the certain year when Antigo was named as the state soil, but same thing. It was lobbied, and it was a big production for many states, and usually it was a common soil in that state. So that's the brief history that I have on that. I still have not seen Antigo, and I'm excited to meet it.
I love that. Why is this soil so important in our state?
Well, we're a huge farming community. We feed the world, so we need to take care of our soils. I saw this quote that a fellow former graduate student and current soil scientist had on her email. There is no life without soil and no soil without life. Mm. Again, it's not a renewable resource. We really need to take care of it. If we don't have soil, we don't have life. We're in big trouble. So in Wisconsin, and it's in the Midwest farming communities, we really want to take care of our soil. Once that top, that fertile soil on the topsoil, that black, beautiful soil, once it's gone, it's gone. We can't get it back. So we need to figure out how to keep it healthy, how to keep it on our land and not blowing or washing off to our neighbor's land. We really need to take care of our soil so we can not just keep things going, but have a regenerative situation system. So really looking at our soils and taking care of them and having our soils work for us is really important.
Let's bring in John now in Eau Claire. Hi, John.
Yeah, hi. My question is my wife and I have changed our whole backyard and stuff and front yard into a pollinator garden with different types of plants and stuff. And we use cocoa bean mulch on top of that. But my question is, really, what can I do to improve the soil that's underneath by putting on a topical or something on the top of it?
I don't think you need to. Are you having any issues growing those native pollinators?
No, other than the rabbits.
Well, they're just doing their job, too. I don't think you, I think continue doing what you're doing, and you're mimicking Mother Nature in our tall grass prairies. And when those plants die off, that organic matter is going to be added to the soil. So I think, thank you for doing that. And you're also increasing the population of our pollinators, and that's extremely important as well.
John, may I ask how long you've been growing your pollinator gardens? How has it been growing up? How long have you been doing it?
Well, actually, I'm the weeder, and my wife is a designer and stuff. And I got to think about this at least 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That we've been doing it. And we actually tried to do some stuff with for monarchs.
Uh-huh.
And we get some monarchs and stuff, and we get some other, you know, different types of butterflies, one that I've never seen before the other day on top of some things that I put in.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That's great. So, can I ask a question?
Sure.
What made you decide to do this?
Other than my wife told me.
Okay, what made your wife decide?
Oh, dear. We just lost him, actually. Sorry about that. Somehow we just lost that connection. Let's go to Gene now in Knapp. Gene, hi.
Hi. Yes. I was wondering, does the NRCS have, on their website, have citations for the looking at the soil loss for all the different various agricultural practices? And the greenhouse gas release per unit production for the various agricultural practices. It's my understanding that the only agricultural practices that practice that results in enhancement of the soil is a rotational grazing, and it also captures greenhouse gases.
So to answer your first question, I don't believe so. I could be wrong, but I don't believe so. And yes, a rotational grazing, I mean, anytime we can leave anything more in its natural state will be more beneficial and not release greenhouse gases. That is also going to be a big focus within our agency, how to sequester carbon and how to keep it in the soil.
Gene, go ahead.
But my understanding is any row crop results in the release of greenhouse gas.
Anytime you disturb the soil, we're releasing some carbon into the atmosphere.
That was my question. Thank you.
Yeah, Gene, thank you. And along those lines of carbon sequestration, Mike in Black River Falls. Mike, go ahead.
Hi. I recently watched an interesting documentary. Woody Harrelson was involved in it. And basically, you mentioned about the carbon. And anyway, he showed that through farming practices, which are probably kind of differ from the way mass farming is done, you can actually remove carbon from the atmosphere, or at least as I recall, I'm not a soil scientist, whereas a lot of the mass farming, which as you pointed out, there's a lot of disturbance of the soil, a lot of pesticides, et cetera, that actually introduces carbon into the atmosphere. It almost sounded like by changing farming, it could be a major contributor towards the elimination of carbon in the atmosphere and help, significantly with the reduction of, climate change
that
we're seeing. Yeah.
Let's get Jennifer's take there.
So I think you're referring to maybe Kiss the Ground. I also watched that. I think we need to be a little bit careful here because farmers are doing their best. And they're not the only contributors to the greenhouse gases. We contribute every day we turn our vehicle on. So any small steps that any of us can take to reduce those greenhouse gases, we should try and do our best.
We're talking with Jennifer Smith, who is the USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service state soil scientist. You can join in 800-642-1234. Jennifer, I do want to ask you about data mapping, digital data mapping, and what that means for soil, how it's done, and what you can do with that information.
Sure. So first off, I want to say that all of our official data is on online called Web Soil Survey. You can just Google Web Soil Survey. It's available to the public. You can print all sorts of reports and maps. And that's always readily available. You can search that by your address, your county, or if you know your township range and section, there's various ways to be able to search the data. And if you have any issues, just give us a call and anybody with the field office or area office can help you out. There's two different branches of soil scientists in our agency. One is with the state, which is where I lie, and it's usually the state soil scientist, an assistant soil scientist, soil health specialist, and then we also have resource soil scientists. Then on the other side, we have more of the soil survey or major land resource area soil scientists. And these are the soil scientists who are still, if an area hasn't been mapped yet, which is very few and far between, they go out and do the mapping projects. And back in the day, it was you had a clipboard, you had some maps, you had your pencil, and you went out and you did your mapping. And you had certain acre goals you needed to complete. And back in the day, they had stereoscopes. Now we have computers. We have all these different layers of data. It's available at our fingertips. We can use LIDAR. I will tell you that this digital soil mapping is amazing. I don't understand it all because it's GIS modeling, so ArcGIS. Mm-hmm. But they go out and they land truth it as well. And it's amazing, and it's supposed to give us more accurate spatial and tabular data. So what's accurately out in the land, out on the landscape?
Jennifer, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me. This was great. We had some great questions. And again, anytime I can talk about soil is a great day.
I love it. Jennifer Smith is the Wisconsin State Soil Scientist in the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Natural Resources Conservation Service. Ahead this hour, we learn about a mysterious illness that's sickening birds in a growing swath of the country. News update is next here on the Ideas Network.